Next is the metadata layer. So metadata, as I mentioned, metadata is data about data, right? So metadata is data about information stored in the data warehouse system. A logical model could be an example of what is a metadata layer. So metadata, again, I said it could be used for audit purposes. It could be used just to keep a check on how the data is being used, right? So it's the metadata layer. And the last is the system operational layer. So it includes information on how the DWH system operates, such as the different ETL job status, the history, the system performance, etc. So it's basically got to do with the operational stuff in the DWH. So how is the operational performance of the DWH system as such, how the ETL process is working, are there any glitches, stuff like that. So that's the part of the operational layer. So this is more to do with the monitoring of the system rather than the actual data warehouse as such. So the concept of the data warehouse, so data warehouse and business intelligence have grounding in very strong technologies, and most of these are very niche. So this particular area, as I said, it's really gaining a lot of popularity because all the business owners want to see the actual reports, how they shape up and what is the business sense that it makes. So the DWH and BI itself is a niche space, and most people have little or no knowledge in this space, but then it's really gaining popularity right now. So current space, it's left only to the domain experts, but then it's a very rich industry to get into. So probably if any one of you is interested in, you know, becoming a data scientist, then I guess that's the in thing right now. And one of the best ways to get in touch with the space at a high level is to understand just the concept. So what I'll try to drive in this particular course is basically we try a high level overview, as I said, about what a data warehouse is, what a business intelligence is, what big data is all about, right? So we'll just have a high level overview because these are topics by itself, right? So there are so many companies that run certification programs around those. So these are big things by itself. People have made their careers into this, so it's a real in thing. Let us understand one important concept of data integrity. And why I'm talking about integrity is we said that once a data that is entered in a database, it should not be altered, and it cannot be altered, right? So it is important that data should be have a proper form to it. It should have its the data should be in a correct state, right? So as I have mentioned that it's really important, because if you feed in garbage, then the only thing that you will get out is garbage, right? So garbage in and garbage out, so you will not actually make any business sense out of it. So that is why it is said that data integrity is really important. And in a data warehouse or a data mart, there are basically three areas where data integrity has to be strictly enforced. So one is at the database level, obviously, because once data that is entered in a database should not and could not be modified. Second is the ETL. Now why ETL? Once the data is transformed and it brings into the required file format, then it's very important to not change that data, right? Because it's wasting effort for everyone. And is last is the access process as well. So even here you should not, so basically the data integrity should be strictly enforced. So going forward, let us look at the components of a data warehouse system. So there are five different components. One is the data models. Second is the ETL. As I said, it's really important in a data warehouse system. Third is the OLAP, because it's the heart of any data warehouse solution. Fourth are the data cleansing approaches. And the fifth is the XDW. Now it sounds very, you know, jazzy, but it's nothing but an extended data warehouse. So let us understand each one in more detail. So first we talk about the data models. So first is the conceptual data model. So there are different data models when we talk about the data modeling. So first is the conceptual data model. So it identifies the highest level of relationship between the different entities. The features of conceptual data include the important entities and the relationship between them. So what is it? So if I have different databases, say a user database, then the geographical database, so establishing that relationship between these different entities is a conceptual data model. Next is a logical data model. So it describes the data in as much detail as possible without regards to how it is physically implemented in the database. So it's basically a logical entity. You do not, I mean, in here it doesn't talk about say the rows or the columns or the key value pairs through which the data is stored, but at a high level how the data model is integrated. Third is the physical data model. So it represents how the model is built in the real database. So physical database model shows all the different table structures, including the column types, the you know, the different key value pairs, the primary key, foreign key, the relationship between the tables. So it's the actual physical place basically. It's a model which helps in a database, a physical database. DataMart, as I said, these are smaller size of the data warehouse. I spoke about those in our previous slides. So they have a more limited data audience or a data content. So say for example, a particular department wants to have data which is meant for them, then rather than exploring the entire data warehouse, I could use something like a data mart. So it's to understand, it's just a subset of a data warehouse. It's you know, a smaller flavor of a data warehouse, you might say, specifically targeted to a specific target audience, not for the general audience as such. So DataMart is the access layer of data warehouse environment that is used to get data to the users. Next comes the fact tables. So fact table is where the actual facts reside, right? So it's a table that stores the quantitative information for analysis, and is often in a denormalized form. So it consists of the actual facts, as I said, or the matrix or the actual numbers, and it holds the real data. Last is the dimensional model. So it is used for creating the summary information. For example, so say the actual reporting structure, so say sales by week, month, year, or regions, so on, right? So the dimensional modeling typically has it gets the information from the fact tables. So the hierarchies are typically stored in a dimension table. So dimension table is used for the actual reporting. The other component in the data warehouse is the ETL. Now ETL is a real powerful component in the data warehouse. So ETL is extraction, transformation and loading, or the extract, transform and load. So it's a process to extract data from the different types of systems, transform it into a structure that is more appropriate for reporting and analyzing it, and finally loading it into a database. So we spoke about how, you know, the data has to be transformed so that it is more readable in nature, right? So that is the function of a ETL. There are three database functions combined into one single tool. So there are basically tools for ETL that are used to pull up the data out of a database and place it into another database. So as I said, it is the movement of data from one area to another, the data staging to the data storage. Remember the layers of the data warehouse that we spoke about. So ETL sits in between the staging area and the storage area. So staging is after the data is cleansed, it is stored, once that cleansed data, it is transformed into the right format, it is then stored. So ETL is a function, it sits between the staging and the storage area. In the process of extracting, data from different sources is converted into one consolidated data warehouse format. We spoke about that, which is ready for transforming. The transformation process may involve cleansing, filtering by selecting only a certain volumes to be loaded, splitting it splitting a column into multiple columns, or probably it could be, you know, merging of those columns. So it could be anything. The next component is the online analytical processing, or the OLAP. So it provides the end users a quick way of slicing and dicing of the data. OLAP performs multi-dimensional analysis of business data and provides the capability for complex calculations, trend analysis, sophisticated data modeling, and enables a user to easily and selectively extract and view data from the different data points. Next, OLAP can be used for data mining or discovery of previous relationship between the data items. So OLAP database does not need to be as large as an entire DWH system, since all the transactional data is needed for not all the transactional data is needed for the trend analysis, right? So only a few data can be stored. So basically it could be small as compared to the overall system as such. And using a ODBC, so ODBC is a connector which can help the data to be imported from existing relational database to create a multi-dimensional database for analytical processing. The other component of database are the database cleansing, as I said, and the different approaches to cleansing could be data analysis, definition of transformation workflows and mapping, verification, the basic transformation. So these are the basic transformation, not the transformation that we see in a ETL function as such, and the backflow of the cleansed data. The last is the extended data warehouse solution. Now this is the real buzzword. So big data systems usually augment the data warehouse platforms. We will talk about the big data, what does it mean. All organization must consider two options in data warehouse implementation. So one is either it's an enterprise-wise data warehouse, or it's department-wise, right? So if it's department-wise, a limited target audience, then you could implement something like a data mart. But if it's for the entire organization, then you might want to look at a data warehouse solution. So organizations must also match the use case for data warehouse to the most appropriate platform types. A data warehouse platform is typically based on a relational database, and the data in it is structured and generally originating from a system's operational and transaction systems. So what does this mean? What is a relational database, first of all? So a relational database is something in which a data is stored which has a proper structure to it, right? So it's not an unstructured data, it has a proper structure to it. And a relational database can be used for complex joins and queries. So as I said, RDBMS, or a relational database management system, is the platform for any data warehouse application. BI dashboards, OLAP, and reporting tools and ad hoc SQL queries usually access the data warehouse and provide the analysts, the business executives, and the decision making the kind of information that they look for. Now, why only SQL queries? Now, SQL queries are generally structured in nature, right? And that is where you would use the data warehouse systems in place. So we said that if the data gets stored in a proper format, and you use the different relational databases in place, then a proper data warehouse application could be made, which could then make use of the different databases, the different relational database, have a join between them, and then come up with some complex queries to have the reports in place, right? So all the business intelligence dashboards, the standard queries, the complex queries, all the structured queries can be made possible if you have a relational database and a structured database in place. So extended data warehouse, in the scenario of big data analytics implementation, big data analytics implementation, some of the considerations are: first is the existing versus the first time users of DWH. So you should understand what the use case for use case for a DWH system would mean for organization, large organization versus SMBs, the cloud implementation. Now this is key and this is driving today's agenda, that is the cloud ready infrastructure. So there are so many data warehouse applications which are based in the cloud, right? So public cloud. So if I have to talk about Azure or if I have to talk about AWS, so there are so many databases which are meant to function as a OLAP, right? So if I have to talk about AWS, right? So just hear the terms. It's not really important for you to learn them as such. But then if you have to talk about something called as a Redshift, right? So Redshift in AWS, it's a database which is meant for online analytical processing. So if the Redshift as a database is really popular when it comes to integration with the BI tools or entire data warehouse application as such. So AWS uses Redshift a lot. So that's the point that this slide tries to drive, is the cloud implementation as a key strategy. Then there is data latency, because so if say my master database resides in one side of the globe and I'm trying to query it, right? So then the time it takes for a query packet to reach from my source till that database, so that's the latency. So it's latency dependent as well. And then integration with big data, and we'll talk about big data in the subsequent slides. So the concept of extended data warehouse, it comes from the appreciation of the limitations of the existing data warehousing solutions, dealing with the newer types of data, experimenting and investigating, or the real-time data analysis, right? So the existing, probably, you know, you cannot actually analyze the data in the real time. So that's where you see the extended data warehouse. So it's a new term that is coined, and they're supporting the new generation of analytics going forward. So the extended data warehouse incorporates the following components. So the existing data warehouse for operational data, a data refinery, a platform for internal and external data, a real-time streaming, and a real-time analysis of that platform is a part of the extended data warehouse. These extensions to the traditional enterprise data warehouse and the BI architecture have been driven by innovations in both the relational and the non-relational database. So we spoke about the relational database, it's more structured, where a non-relational database is non-structured. These components give organizations the ability to freely and quickly or probably experiment with large volumes of data with proper performance. So that's again one of the concepts that is driving the extended data warehouse. Okay, so let us see some of the deployment options for data warehouse. A data warehouse environment can differ vastly from one organization to other. We spoke about them. So basis the nature of the business, basis the need for a data warehouse solution, the kind of vertical that it operates, basis the size of the organization, etc. So it could be basically of two types. One is an enterprise data warehouse, that's a full-fledged data warehouse solution, or it could be a data mart. So data mart, as we said, it's a subset. So specifically targeted to specific departments or specific users. So it could be either a data warehouse, a full-fledged deployment, or a data mart, or could be a combination of these. As the data warehouse is architected to contain all the pertinent information from enterprise's operational system and external data source, and it is used in all, it is used for all the departments. So this is basically enterprise-wide data warehouse solution that we are talking about. So in this configuration, there could be multiple data warehouses, right? So the current approach is to create a data mart, which could be for smaller organizations, as we said, which are smaller in scope data warehouses that focus on individual business or departments or sub-verticals of the customer business. The data marts can provide reporting and BI for specific departments. So we spoke about them. A next generation data warehouse and BI architecture is currently emerging with the extended data warehouse that we said. This new architecture, so let us understand what is the need for it. So advanced analytical capabilities such as we said the real-time analysis, the predictive nature, the statistical reports, and the data visualization. So that is triggering in the demand for a new generation or the extended data warehouse. Second is the enhanced management of new and the unusual data sources with newer concepts such as data refineries, right? And the use of data virtualization or data blending tools to augment the standard ETL approaches. So what does this mean? There are new concepts that are getting involved. So say for example, the way the data used to get refined and cleansed, so that is getting changed. Because that is getting changed, the ETL function also changes, right? So this approach has to trigger in changes in the existing data warehouse applications. And there are new deployment models. So we spoke about the cloud. So how data warehouses can be now deployed into the cloud or the public cloud or a private cloud. Then a lot of mobile devices are triggering that kind of data. So there is absolutely data explosion. So I took the example of the IoT sensors, right? So there could be data that's coming on from all different sources, which could be stored in the cloud, right? So these kind of complex things are now generating a lot of data, and that is the need for the newer age of data warehousing solution that we spoke about. Okay, so having known what a data warehouse solution is, let us understand business intelligence. So data warehouse and business intelligence go hand in hand. Data warehouse is where the data is stored, and business intelligence is when you come up with reports, you come up with some kind of analytics around it. So it actually makes business sense. So let us understand business intelligence in more detail. So BI or business intelligence is a set of sophisticated analytical techniques used in identifying, extracting, and analyzing the hard business data. Right, so it could be something like a sales revenue, or it could be the company performance and stuff like that. So the objective of a BI would include understanding a firm's internal as well as external strengths, weaknesses, understanding the relationship between data for better decision making, detection of opportunities for innovation and cost reduction and optimal deployment of resources. So we took that case of the mobile manufacturer, right? So it helps to know what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, right? And then probably have some corrective actions around them. BI is accomplished through the ease of softwares which help companies to organize and analyze data for better decision making. And while business intelligence to a layman, it could mean just, you know, having large amounts of data, but then business intelligence is not just having that data, right? So say we took a example of Netflix. Let us understand how Netflix will use BI for them. So Netflix would actually analyze or probably have a lot of data about its users, what they are consuming. But that is not the real intelligence. You just have, a particular sitcom that is getting consumed a lot. But then how do I actually make some business sense out of it? So from Netflix perspective, if you could, bring up things like related sitcoms, or probably altogether innovative way of doing would be, a Netflix user would be interested in knowing what your peers are watching, correct? So say if data around that is thrown to your screen, so say whenever you open your Netflix account, if I have say 10 group or 10 friends, and it could probably not name a person, but then it could say that say 70% of your friends are watching this, then I might be tempted to watch that particular series, right? So it's basically trying to get that user information and making that business sense, right? So that probably your sales could increase. So that is the whole purpose of business intelligence. So it says that business systems and process of analyzing the data and generating the reports for the right people at the right time, so that corrective actions could be taken. So BI therefore is not just a piece of software, The types of tools that make up a business intelligence software solution generally include tools for spreadsheets, operational dashboards, data mining applications, reporting frameworks, searches, query tools, OLAP, content viewer, and other components of the ERP system. So, business intelligence basically is a set of processes, architectures, and technologies that would convert raw data into meaningful information, which could then drive profitable business actions. So, it's a suite of different softwares and services to transform the data into actionable intelligence. And a BI has a direct impact on the organization's strategic, tactical, as well as operational decision making. So BI supports fact-based decision making. So it's not using you are not just making decisions basis your gut, but then you making decisions basis the historical data rather than relying on your gut, so that the chances of succeeding are higher, because it's a scientific data model around which the decision is made. So the chances of failure are less. So the BI tool performs the data analysis and creates report summaries, dashboards, it could be graphs, maps, to provide the users with detailed intelligence about the nature of that business. So how are BI systems implemented? So as I said, we are just scratching the surface. We are not going in detail about how a BI system works and what are the different algorithms that are needed for a BI system to actually operate. But then at a very high level, a 30,000 feet view, so step one is to is the raw data from the corporate database is extracted. The data could be spread across multiple systems, as we mentioned. Step two is the data is cleansed and transformed into a data warehouse. The table can be linked and multiple different linkages or the data cubes can be formed. And step three is using a proper BI system in place so that the user can query, can request, and probably get those kind of ad hoc reports in place to conduct that kind of business intelligence. Right. So hope you've understood what a business intelligence means. Right. So let me take you through an example, say, of a hotel chain. So a hotel owner might use a BI intelligent or a BI application to gather statistical information with regards to the average occupancy of a hotel. So for a hotel industry, that is of most importance, right? So what is my total occupancy and how should my room rates be charged? So it helps them to get aggregate revenue per room. Right. So it collects statistics on the market share data from the different consumer surveys. So say it could take feeds from different portals. So say something like a TripAdvisor, a Make My Trip, where users might post some comments about that particular hotel have a competitive positioning of that particular hotel. So by analyzing these trends year on year, month on month, so the management can then decide on what kind of pricing strategy that the hotel should have. So that's the power of a BI system. Similarly, a bank, right? A bank might give the branch managers the access to the BI application. So it might help the branch manager to determine who are my most profitable customers, and then target only those customers to get those revenue. So the use of BI tools basically frees the technology staff from generating the analytical report for the departments. It could also give the departments the personal access to a richer data source. So, business intelligence, just to summarize, often business intelligence software may also integrate tools designed for specific verticals such as retail, healthcare, education. So, I gave you an example of a hotel industry, right? So, the hotel industry, the BI tool used might be different from a consumer-led industry, so like FMCG or a telecom. There are large ISVs in the BI space, so there is SAP, Oracle, IBM, Microsoft, Information Builders, SAS. So SAS is a company which is known only for their analytical offering. They've been around for years, but then again, as we've seen in case of ERP, there are a lot of ISVs who offer such kind of tools. So even in this space, there are a lot of startups that they've come up with their products and they're getting a lot of traction in the market. A few of the mid-market BI vendors could include Actuate Corporations, Logi Analytics, QuickTech, Tableau. So Tableau was there in the news, right, for their acquisition. So these are some of the lesser known, or probably I should say a tier 2 BI player as such.